welcome to Preach the Word with Brother Dean Carmichael of Greensboro. And now let's welcome our dear friend, Brother Dean.
All right, so we're going to be in the book of Mark and chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 46 through 48. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the high wayside begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." The title of the message is Encountering Jesus. Now, at the time of this recording, it is Advent season, and the word Advent means arrival. If you would have asked me 3 years ago what Advent was, I would not know what to say. I probably would have not been sure. And then if you would have told me that Advent was to Christmas what Lent is to Easter, I probably would have responded with, "Oh, that's what the Catholics do." But in reality, Advent and Lent are both Christian traditions, and there's nothing wrong with the tradition within the church. Like any rule, regulation, or ritual programs, they're all okay as long as they don't replace or take away from doctrine, especially if they draw you closer to Christ. And Advent is a Christian tradition, which is a season of anticipation. And we're anticipating the coming of Jesus Christ and what he gives to us. You have the hope for eternal life. Romans 15:13, "Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." There's the peace of God's presence. There's the joy of redemption, the love of God for man. And Matthew 1:23 tells us, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. To quote C.H. Spurgeon, he said, "Emmanuel, God with us in our nature, in our sorrow, in our life work, in our punishment, in our grave, and now with us, or rather we with him, in resurrection, ascension, triumph, in second advent splendor." So Advent is a time of celebration and anticipation of the coming Christ. So we celebrate Advent looking at, first of all, the first coming at Bethlehem. So when God was manifested in the flesh, he dwelt among us, he lived a perfect life, he came, he's the last Adam. We know that because of man's sin, because man's need of a Savior, the Lord Jesus came, he died on the cross for our sins, he rose again, he was ascended up to be with the Father and sat down at the right hand. Now, we celebrate, of course, his first coming, and Advent is leading up to Christmastide, which is Christmas, and it's celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. But also, Advent is also an anticipation of his return. So Revelation 19, the second coming of Jesus Christ, when he comes at the end of the seven-year tribulation period, the church is caught up, and the seven-year tribulation begins, and then you have that tribulation, and then at the end of that, you have the day of the Lord, where Jesus Christ will return. And we are looking forward to that day. We're looking to the coming of Jesus Christ. But Advent also is celebrating the daily coming of Jesus Christ, the grace to the receiver. So it's not only the gift of his redemption, that's celebrating his first coming. You have the glory of his return, which is celebrating his future reign. But then you have the grace to the receiver, which is his daily coming. So not only has he come, his first advent, not only is he coming again, but he's also with us. He's present in our daily lives, and he's with us on this journey of life. So the reality of God's presence in our daily lives can be overshadowed by this world that we live in. Secular culture, which Satan rules, the prince, the power of the air, being a follower of Christ in these days can be a very hard thing, but it's always been a hard thing because salvation is a free gift, but discipleship will cost you a lot. And it's not about having life in the church, it's about having life in Christ. And there's so much for us to be thankful for and to look back on the first coming of Christ. And there's so much for us to be thankful for the second coming of Christ. But also, we are thankful that Christ comes to us daily. And he wants to have an intimate relationship with us. And he wants to have fellowship with us. Now, if you look here in the book of Mark, and talking about Advent, more than just the birth and the return, it's also the daily presence of Christ. And here's a man in Scripture who had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's look at blind Bartimaeus as an example of how encountering Jesus is needed daily. And just using this story as a spiritual application of how we need Christ every day. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us, and we need communion with God, and we need fellowship with Him. And notice just a couple things before we go on. If you look throughout Scripture, talking about Paul, how he says that he dies daily, talking about how we're to yield to the Holy Spirit of God, be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The presence of God in our daily life is extremely important. It's something that's often overshadowed, but there's a big part here. There's a big piece to this. Presence of God in our daily life, it requires a lot from us. It requires that we do certain things. Thank God we're saved, we're secure, but as believers, we can go through our Christian life and not have fellowship. So let's look at Bartimaeus for a minute. First and foremost, there's the request from Bartimaeus. Now, we talk about how our hope is in Jesus Christ. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." First and foremost, there's a confession in his request. He acknowledged that he needed Jesus. So he's not just yelling out, "Somebody please help me." He's not just yelling out, I'm blind, I need help. He specifically calls out to Jesus, and he gives him the title. He references him as the son of David, which we'll get to that in just a second. But if only we would go after Jesus the way Bartimaeus did, because he acknowledges that he needs help, and he goes after Jesus until he gets it. I think of Jacob. Whenever Jacob is wrestling with the Lord, he hangs on to him as tight as he can, and he will not let him go until God blesses him. That's so important. And you think of our daily lives, and this is not just our salvation experience. Of course, you know, we cry out to God to save our soul, but this is recognizing the need of God in our daily life. This is recognizing, yes, thank you, Lord, you came the first time. Yes, thank you, Lord, you're coming again. But, Lord, I need you right now. I need you in my daily life. I need fellowship. I need communion with you. And like Bartimaeus said, there's confession. He acknowledges, I need you. He's crying out specifically to the Lord. We're not just saying, yeah, we need help every day. We are specifically saying, Lord, we need help from you. So there's confession in his request. Notice when he says son of David, that's referencing, I believe, 2 Samuel, where it says, "And thine house and thine kingdom shall be established forever before thee, thy throne shall be established forever." So what Bartimaeus is doing here, he's affirming that Jesus was the Messiah. He acknowledges who Jesus is. So is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? This is extremely important. This is what Bartimaeus is doing here. There's a confession. There's a confession. That's scriptural. That's how we're supposed to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There's reverence there. When we go to the Lord and daily, as we're supposed to, we're to reverence him and we're to ensure that he is the Lord of our life, that there is nothing that is separating us from him in regards to fellowship. There's nothing that is hindering us, rather, I should say, from fellowship. You know, you can say that Jesus is the Lord of your life, but you can live a completely different way. And that's the difference between modern day definition of Christianity. And when I say definition, I just mean like a culture, rather. I should say culture. The culture of modern day Christianity is where we live as if we're the God of our own life. We're fine with Christianity because we do whatever we want. But being a follower of Jesus Christ is completely different. And confessing him as Lord, and he's your master. He's the Lord of your life. Another thing, there's confidence in his request. So notice, he's crying out to Jesus, but he continues to cry out to Jesus. He doesn't stop. Even when people tell him to stop, he keeps crying out to the Lord. Now, in those days, religious leaders would look down on someone if they would have an issue like this, like if they were blind or sick, or if they were in poverty. They would look down on them. They're in their present condition because of direct judgment of God. However, Bartimaeus here came to Jesus by faith and belief that he is a God who cares for the brokenhearted. Psalms 34, verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. So not only is there confession, when he cries out to God, there's a confession that he needs the Lord, that Jesus indeed is the Lord of his life, but there's also confidence, knowing that there's no shame here. There's nothing but confidence that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And what I mean by no shame here is meaning that there's repentance, there's sorrow if there is something wrong that you've done, whatever it may be, but you have confidence in God. Regardless of your situation, whether you're a lost sheep that's returning, whether you're someone who's brokenhearted and down, whatever the need is, if it's something that you've done or if it's just bad circumstances, if it's just the daily need for God, you need strength, whatever it is, there's confidence in crying out to him and crying out as loud as you can to him, your heart, all your strength, you're crying out to the Lord for his help. So first and foremost, there's the request of God's having God's presence with us, God coming to us. But then there's his response in verse 49 through 51. So it says, "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight." So first you have the request, now you have the response. So there's first and foremost, there's comfort in Christ's response. Notice here it says, "And Jesus stood still." So Jesus acknowledges Bartimaeus. If we are able to stop what we're doing and be still and truly empathize and care and listen to someone with the readiness to minister and help them find healing and love them, that is the work of Jesus through us. That is Christ working through us. That is exactly what he does to Bartimaeus here. When we talk to God, he listens. As James says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." He acknowledges the beggar, and then he invites him to come to him. Now, there's comfort, but there's also care, because Christ asked that question, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" So, this is really important. Before he asked this question, notice something. Okay, what does Bartimaeus do before he goes? He cast away his garment. So the reason he did that is because he didn't want anything to hinder him from getting to Jesus. He acknowledges that he needs Jesus, and he has faith that he'll heal him, and he cries out. But what he's doing is he's forsaking all to follow Christ. He knows that the only one who can help him is Christ. So he doesn't want anything to hinder him. And so Advent, when we look back on how Christ came the first time, when we look forward to his coming, and when we enjoy his presence in our daily lives, we have to understand that in order to truly have the presence of God and have fellowship with God, that we have got to get rid of things that hinder us from getting to him. And what I mean by that is, think of sin. Think of open sin in your life. Think of hidden secret sins in your life. Whatever that is, that sin that will easily beset us, what is it that will keep us from truly having fellowship with the Lord? He didn't want his own garment to get in the way. And that's just such a perfect type of how we should be willing to lose everything for the Lord. And that's what Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. That means if it came down to that, if it absolutely came down to that, that's what would happen, because you have given everything for him. I mean, you've surrendered everything. It's all his. Everything you own, everything you have, it's all his. If you weren't to get anything for Christmas this year, it wouldn't matter, because you have all you need anyway. If you do get stuff for Christmas this year, great. You know, it's all his anyway. You're just enjoying the blessings God has given you. But at the end of the day, you're living in full submission to Jesus Christ. That is truly how we can enjoy his fellowship. And then Christ asks the question, what is it you want from me? You know, he knows our need, but he's asking Bartimaeus there because he wants him to admit it. And what we're asking for may not be what we exactly need, but Christ knows exactly what we need. And the last couple things here, you have relief. So this is talking about, it says, and Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So the condition of this relief is allowing Jesus to heal him. So what saved Bartimaeus? How do we live the Christian life? How do we please God? How do we experience Jesus and live a life close to him? The answer to all of that is our faith. That's it. That thy faith hath saved thee. That's how that thy faith hath made thee whole. You know, we're saved by faith. We're also made whole by faith. We live by faith. We have fellowship by faith. We have worship by faith. We should go to church by faith. There's also care in his relief. And Romans 12, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So let Jesus transform you. Okay, so there's care in his relief, meaning there's soul care there. So come to him like Bartimaeus did, and then let him work. So bask in the relief that you find in Christ, and let that restore. And it takes time. Restoration is a process. But let all of that work. Let God work and give it all to him. Don't fall into the trap of giving it all to God and then try to do your best to live a better life. That's a trap. Don't do that. Don't say, Lord, here, you know, Lord, I give it all to you. Okay, I need to do better. I need to get better. Well, if you're going to give it all to the Lord, you got to allow him to work. And that requires not only for you to talk to God, but that requires you to listen to God. That requires a lot of effort. That requires time in the Word. That requires giving up a lot of things. That requires having an open heart and being ready to get rid of anything that's holding you back. Because if you're giving it all over to God, you got to be ready to give a lot of things up. So there's rest, there's relief there. Sorry, I lost my spot. There's relief. And then last of all, there's rejoicing. So it says talking about the love of God for man, proclaiming. So, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So there's cure in his rejoicing, but also consecration in his rejoicing. So this is God's love for us. Okay, this is why we preach, this is why we teach, this is why we testify. This is our great commission. This is the grace of God to all mankind. This is Jesus Christ healing a blind man. He once was blind, but now he sees. You take that, and that is a type of salvation. You're lost, you're blind, and then you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you're saved, and you see. But that's not all. There's so much more to the Christian life. There's the first coming, there's the second coming, but again, there's also the daily coming. Okay, we can have as much as Jesus as we want. All right, I am not a deist, I am a theist. And what that means is a deist, like our founding fathers, they were deists. So they believed that God was way up there in heaven, which he is. I agree with that. However, not only is God way up there in heaven, God is also a personal God, okay? Personal. So don't just celebrate the first coming. Don't just anticipate the second coming. Bask and enjoy and rest and truly relish in the daily coming of Christ. Now, what I mean by daily coming, please don't misunderstand me with this, where I'm talking about a person is saved over and over. That's not what I mean. I mean the presence of God in your life as a Christian, as a believer. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God at the moment of salvation, but we have that presence of God in our daily life, and he doesn't just want to save us and keep us here and be distant from us. He wants us to be close to him. And there's so much we can learn from Bartimaeus with how he requested that Jesus would heal him. He requested the need for Jesus, the response of Jesus, the relief, but then last of all, the rejoicing. So there's the cure in his rejoicing, but there's also the consecration in his rejoicing. So he followed Jesus in the way. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you. So experiencing Christ is evidence of true discipleship, because it shows that we not only are truly following after Jesus Christ, but that we are enjoying his presence. And we are walking right there with him. And man, he talks to us, we talk to him, and it's just a wonderful thing. Well, Merry Christmas to you, and I pray that this was a blessing. Until next time, we'll pray that God will just use this for his honor and his glory. And until next time, may the Lord bless you.
Thank you for listening to Preach the Word with Brother Dean Carmichael from Greensboro. You can email Brother Dean, preachtheword87@outlook.com. preachtheword87@outlook.com. You also can follow our dear friend Brother Dean Carmichael on Facebook, facebook.com/DeanCarmichaelJr.